Good morning. This is Sunday, August the 7th, Fellowship Hall class, entitled The Holy Spirit in Action with Bill Horton, and the class will start in about 15 minutes.
Well, good morning, Vernon. How are you today?
I'm a little slow today.
That's all right. Slow is better than no go. Good morning. Come on through.
Come on down.
Yeah, I'm coming to the table, so.
Just
for your ring, if you need to. How are you this morning?
I'm here.
Good. What's that? You're here? Well, being here is good.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's the best place to be.
I think so. It's a good place to come and get your batteries recharged and for this electric generation, having recharged batteries is a good thing. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Or if we were down under, it'd be a good day.
Good morning. I've been wearing a beautiful beard, but I could do that with my hair. It just won't do it. That is pretty good.
Good morning.
Good morning. I know, very nice.
Yeah,
it's very nice stuff.
Hey, good morning. We'll let you take over. We had a person logged in who then got lost, so they may be back.
What? It happens. Yep. A lot of stuff happens.
They drop out.
Well,
I sent a text saying the class starts in 15 minutes, and then gone.
Or somebody decided to call them.
There you go, and then now they're talking on the phone. It was an iPhone, you're right.
Well, you can never be sure, so.
Okay, you got your sheets here. The recorder's already going. The machine is turned on, so
well,
I think as we get closer to 9:15, I just feel compelled to make everything ready. So if you're delayed, that will cause you a problem. So.
All right, I'm off to the other building. Well, have a good class.
Indeed, I hope.
And your friend is back.
All right.
I'm getting
Enjoy. Yes, sir.
That's what we just built your system here in Gainesville. And when I get a shot at, something will meet me and spirit me, put me on the right area and do the same thing in Huntsville. So it's a little extra, but I put out and know it's the best thing.
It's the best thing.
Because she said, you're not going to be able to walk.
Yeah.
Don't trip them back there.
Yeah.
Her and, what McCall tell me that just came back. You ask for a wheelchair, even though you're not walking today.
Right.
Just ask for a wheelchair.
That's what I did with my mom.
Yeah. And someone be with them, let them know what area to go to. because my chair ruler right now that I'm not going to be able to get the commission in charge. But that's what the person that's going to be with me is supposed to do, make sure I get that commission.
Good morning. You all right?
Good morning.
Yeah.
Start winding on.
Well, did they make it all right? Huh? Did they make it all right?
Yeah, they're out there. They're out there. They talked about Diana and
yeah. Well, I know they were supposed to leave Monday, I think.
But I didn't work my WD-40.
No, me either. Although I knew it was. Yeah.
Okay. So they're coming back tomorrow.
Great song.
We're flying back in the game.
Just the love.
One of them flies off.
They have fun?
We had a WD-40 on my new walker the other day.
Get to see that baby.
It already has pointed. It already had a what?
She's probably taken about 1,000 of them.
No. That's aggravating.
But if no, the doctor don't want her going in the wet now, about so.
Yeah.
Especially driving.
Yeah.
Where's your husband?
He's got to go pick somebody up.
My thing I'm going to do this week.
Good.
Take out.
Well, you're needy.
He's still calling.
Pick up people.
Just leave a message.
Well, he's picking up Brooke and family.
What?
Yeah. Just
he's picking up Brooke and family because Andre's at work with their only vehicle.
Jacket on Facebook, you know. I thought she was going to.
That's very logical.
The ladies. Thing that in Jacksonville, but it was a weekend I was doing something.
Do very many people wear masks anymore here?
But she's at that, you know,
not right at the moment.
Yes.
Okay.
There will be more. I've gotten spoiled.
Yeah,
no, these kind of masks.
No,
oh, you had one handy today, so I put on a different one. I don't like them now. I don't have my turtle that fits inside of them.
Your
what? Turtle.
Yeah, it's on.
It's a colored turtle. It's a plastic thing that you put in.
You know,
it makes it so much easier, but I got out of the harvest because I've been using the N95.
Yeah. I'll just be happy when the day comes.
Yes.
But I'm okay with it. I mean, you know. What's the alternative?
Yeah, we really don't want to have COVID.
Right. I found out the other day that my sister and her daughter have both had COVID.
You used to come down there.
Yeah, have they gone back to school yet?
But she said they had mild cases.
Okay, but that's good.
Yeah.
And I think he's married.
I guess it was better for both of them if they were going to get it, to get it during the summer.
Yes.
Because her daughter is teaching, and she's going to be going to grad school this year.
Yes. Little children, who have running noses all the time anyway.
And my sister retired in December, but she's already gone back to work.
Why? Why did she go back to work? Because
she wants to, I guess. She's a workaholic. She's a psychologist. And she's been the vice principal of a school for years.
Yes.
And so anyway, she retired, I don't remember how many years, 30? I don't know. And she decided she wanted to do some counseling. You know, just counseling, not
the administrative part.
Right. So. She's talking about going back into the school system to be a school psychologist.
And the building probably need to be.
Would she do that at the high school level or?
Yeah. Probably.
That would be not more. I don't know if she'll go back to the same school where she was. It was a high school. And had mega students. Almost 3,000. So it was a big school.
Yes.
And it had a, what they call a learning center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what that is.
Well, it could be for high school students that still need help with reading or math.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if that's what it is.
Well, I was thinking maybe it was teaching them to learn the new generation of computers and that sort of thing, but I have no idea.
I don't know.
No, I don't either.
So she
I guess the term could be used for different things.
And it may be. It may be, you may both be right. Maybe it's whatever is needed.
Yeah. Somebody famous gave the school $150,000 and then gave them an additional $50,000 to furnish it. So my sister must be a good grant writer, because that's how she got through school.
That's good.
By writing grants. I was asking her one day, had she paid off her debt?
And?
And she, oh yeah, I did that a long time ago, but I had a lot of grants.
How are you doing?
Good morning.
Yes, so that's good.
Well, I'm kidding.
Okay.
It is better.
Yeah, she worked hard.
Good morning. Just the one daughter?
No.
Morning.
And they're younger. The daughter is the oldest. And then she's got one son that's her middle.
I was late.
Married. And has two babies. One's 2.5 and the other one was 4 in June.
Ladies, I thought y'all had on identical dresses.
Yeah, similar.
Well, I'd already seen Janet's and then I just glanced up and you walked by. And I thought, I wonder what Janet's doing. Better wonder Janet.
It's good to see everyone this morning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I believe we now have also tuned in those who are away from us but are listening. So we're glad for that. This morning, around about 7 o'clock, I guess it was, and we tuned in the services of the church in Ivano-Frankivsk, Ukraine. And one of our colleagues who lives up in Tennessee was there, and he was preaching, and it was really good to see him and also to see the church. They were singing and their regular services. So they're about 7 hours ahead of us. Can you hear me? Not yet.
Does it need to be raised up?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. Hopefully I don't steal your thunder.
That's okay. Now, can you hear me all right?
Yep.
All right, good. But anyway, it's nice to know that brothers and sisters in Ukraine are still meeting and still worshiping God, and also they are interested in whatever we had to say. For example, he was teaching about marriage this morning. And he's a married man, and so he certainly has experience. And the singing was great, so we really enjoyed tuning in for that. All right. Do we have any new prayer requests today? Yes.
This is my traveling. I'll be traveling to Detroit, Michigan. Huntsville, Alabama. Later, I'll have a safe trip down back.
Huntsville, Alabama. All right. Hope you have a good trip. Yes.
My Nathan's been out in Washington State this past week. Just pray for a safe return home tomorrow.
All right. Where in Washington State?
Down in Camas, just on the river, Columbia River crossing port.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Pray for me this week for just some challenges at work.
Challenges at work?
Yes.
All right.
Polly, I'm sorry for you. I didn't think your wreath was at work. I thought, who's not there?
I remember when I worked, there were challenges.
Always challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah, just for me to be focused and be continuously prayerful of, you know, all the things that happen. And just, you know, working with, in the medical field, you want to be, make sure you're really focusing and, you know, everybody's on the same page.
Yes. You hope.
Yeah, praying. Praying.
Very good. Other prayers. All right, so we're going to pray for them. I'd also like you to pray, as usual, for Ukraine and the people that are on the run over there from the aggression of Russia, and which is continuous and, shall we say, unrelenting. Many of the people that we love and know for many years have scattered from the places where they live. All they get to take with them is one bag, like a Publix bag, you know, the plastic bag. That's all they get to take with them when they leave, leaving behind a lifetime of things accumulated and things that they love. But the government has told them, you got to leave because there's not going to be any heat for you, there won't be any water, there won't be anything to keep you alive, so you've got to go somewhere. And so they are leaving. But when you see the pictures of the people leaving and all they have in their hands is a little bag, it just breaks your heart. You can imagine if we had to do that. Well, we wouldn't even be able to empty our closet for a little bag like that, let alone all the other things that we love and appreciate in our homes. So I'll talk a little bit more about that in our report after services this morning. All right, well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come to you because you are the one that we need to come to when there are issues that are on our hearts. Help us, Father, that we might always bring these things to your attention, because we know that there's no point in our worrying about them, but rather we should talk about them with you and turn them over to you, because you are the one that overrules the whole world, and especially the world that we know. So, Father, we ask that you would listen to these prayers. The things that we had talked about last Sunday, we bring to you again. Also, our sister that's going to be traveling to Huntsville, please bless her trip. Also, please be with Brother Dan's wife as she's on her way home from Washington State. Also, we're praying that the challenges in the workplace, in the health care, would be resolved because of your taking over the issues and solving those things in ways that we would never think of, probably. We just pray that you will be the one that works through whoever's there, that there might be a resolution. Father, we pray for the people that are not with us today. May they have blessings that they need. We pray that you will help us to always be conscious of folks over in Ukraine who are in terrible trouble. And we know that there will be a time when you will bring peace. And we pray for peace. And we would pray also that it might be soon, Father. Thank you for being with us as we study this morning. We pray that you will bless us and help us to understand more about your Spirit and how he is at work. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we are studying through the book of James and 1st and 2nd Peter and all of these scriptures. And last week we did discuss James 4, verses 3 through 5. And did anything occur to you afterwards that you would like to have brought up before we move on to our study in 1 Peter? All right, let's turn then to 1 Peter, the first chapter, and we'll look at verses 1 and 2. Anybody want to read that to us? All right, I'll do that. In 1 Peter 1, that's chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It's addressed, the book is addressed to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. That's reading from the New King James Version. Okay, so when we see the mention of the Holy Spirit there, it says that there is in sanctification of the Spirit. You remember our reading before about the sanctification in the Spirit? Anyone? Surely you do. Who is it that sanctifies us? God sanctifies us, and how does he do that? In this case, he's talking about the role of the Spirit. The Spirit is involved in the sanctification of people that become Christians. And he says this is something that was decided beforehand. It's not some last-minute idea that God had, but rather this was his plan all along. And you are the ones that he was thinking about when he decided that he would sanctify people who obeyed him. I think that's pretty good news.
That's why it's called gospel.
Gospel is right. Good news indeed. So can we know exactly how the Spirit does the sanctification?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The Holy Spirit inspires God's Word, the law of Christ. And when we do exactly what the inspired word from the Holy Spirit through the apostles, through the Lord himself, when we do precisely what God asks us to do, we need to be pardoned. Then he transfers us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and we are set apart for a holy use.
All right. And the sanctification is another way of saying set apart, right?
Yes.
There is something that happens in the process when we decide to lay aside our old nature and take on a new nature. Or, as Paul often talks about, we become a new creature. And also, when he was writing to Christians, he often reminded them who they are, and that they are new creatures and therefore should honor that status that God has given us. So when we experience this sanctification by the Spirit, you may not feel especially different, but knowing by faith what the Spirit is doing, that He is actually moving you off of one list to another, that you are actually now set apart from that old world, and you are set apart for service as God's children, then we can come to a new appreciation for the work of the Holy Spirit. This is not the first time we've talked about this. I just wanted to kind of remind you that Peter is using this in his first two verses in the book to talk about how the Holy Spirit has been at work in all of the hearts of the people that are of the dispersion. What dispersion is he talking about? Have you ever been dispersed? What kind of a dispersion was happening all over the world?
Persecution,
yes. People had been driven out of Jerusalem, had been driven out of other places where the kingdom had flourished, and they were now on the run. It reminds me of what's going on in Ukraine. Not that all the people in Ukraine that are being dispersed are faithful Christians, but there are faithful Christians who are on the run, and therefore we need to be thinking about them, because right now they're the ones that are in the news, and they kind of illustrate for us what kind of pressure the people were under that Peter was addressing here in his letter. We need to be prepared, because this can happen to us. We are not in a situation where we have a guarantee of freedom from persecution. We are actually in a situation where it's almost guaranteed that we will be cast out of what is normal for us and have to endure persecution, and perhaps even beyond what we are seeing elsewhere in the world. As we read in 1 Peter, we're going to see more about the Holy Spirit. Peter was present on the day of Pentecost when what happened?
Holy Spirit came down.
Yes, the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place, and Peter was the one who was the spokesperson for the apostles on that occasion. And then he refers to that again, not just once, but he refers to it again over when he goes into, Samaria, wasn't it? Where the people said, we haven't heard about the Holy Spirit. And so he arranged for them to receive the Holy Spirit just like he and the apostles had on the day of Pentecost. So this was not a one-time deal. In fact, you remember that when Peter went over to visit with Cornelius, and he went over there to preach the gospel to him, and what happened there? You remember? Holy Spirit fell on who?
Gentiles.
The Gentiles that were there gathered to hear what Peter had to say. You remember that? We read that in the 10th and 11th chapters of Acts. That's a long time ago, wasn't it? But it's a very significant scripture, because if that hadn't happened, would we be Christians?
Sure.
Well, okay. It had to happen somehow, didn't it? Because the Gentiles had been ignored by those Christians. They just didn't understand that God's plan was for all people to be told the gospel and allowed to obey it. I'm glad that we're told in those different places in the book of Acts how the dawning of God's intent and purpose all along was to break down the wall between Jews and Gentiles. It took a while for that to sink in. I am so glad that we're given the details by Luke on how that actually took place. So, yes?
So that there's no doubt, because we suggested something that might not be quite clear what people are thinking as they've heard it, that we would still be Christians whether the Cornelius story occurred or not. John chapter 17,
is a reminder in the high priestly prayer of the Lord that people will become believers through the words of the apostles. So whether Cornelius, any Gentile who heard the word that Peter preached to the Jews on Pentecost that accepts God's terms of pardon, Jew or not, you're forgiven. So we're clarifying that God put his stamp of approval to send a strong message to the Jews, Peter and the rest of those. The Gentiles are acceptable to me. But that acceptance really occurred when Jesus came out of the tomb and then made salvation available for all mankind, not just the select nation. Back to you.
Thanks for explaining what I was saying. But it is important for us to realize that God is a loving God, and just because leaders did not understand his purpose, it didn't mean that he decided not to do anything about it. He wanted us to be his children, and he made it very clear to the leaders that that's what he wanted, and it took a miracle, I guess you'd say, for that to happen, but it did happen, and I'm so glad that we are permitted to share with the Jews in being children of God. Well, any other comments you want to make on this first couple of verses in 1 Peter? Yes.
Just an observation. You notice that Peter lists in verse 1 these provinces.
Yeah.
The gospel had been spreading like wildfire, like Ukrainian wheat on fire. And look at these provinces that are listed. Pontus, that's up on the Black Sea. Galatia, a little bit further south. Cappadocia, Asia. Bithynia is up on the Black Sea. So throughout all these, so we're just emphasizing, in a short period of time, there were enough believers in these provinces. In America, we call them states. They're in Rome, and so look at the rapid spread of the good news message of pardon, and how awesome is that? Back to you.
Right. Yeah. I was in Cappadocia several years ago, and impressed with that terrain and so on, and the people. Of course, there mainly they are worshiping a person that is not God, but. We got to visit with a lot of people that they were very nice folks. We just have to wish that they could go back to the days when there was a viable population of Christians that could set the right example there. That'll probably happen at some point. So we need to pray for it. Right now we even need to pray for the people in Cappadocia and all those other places, that they will become faithful to the Lord. All right, other comments there? Let's go on then to the next occurrence of the word Spirit with a capital in verses 11 and 12. Anybody want to read that to us? All right, go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna start at 10 so we can read the whole thing. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you intensity and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things.
All right. There's a lot crammed into those few verses. The Spirit of Christ, he mentions there in verse 11. I had, as you can tell, I had trouble deciding how much of that text I should copy for you. But anyway, the Spirit of Christ, or what searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicated when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. So if you go back, for example, to Isaiah and you look at the prophecies about Jesus, did he say when all that was going to happen?
It will happen.
It will happen, right. It was clear to Isaiah that this was going to happen, but he did not give us a time, date, or even context, hardly, for what he was prophesying. But he was sure that when he was prophesying, he was saying what God wanted him to say. And also he didn't say what the Spirit of Christ it was in them was indicating when he testified. We find that in the Old Testament. We went through this and we found places where the Spirit was mentioned, but the Spirit was not fully understood. His statements were sometimes made by prophets who didn't really understand what they were predicting. And therefore, when we try to tie all of those prophecies into what history has shown us in Scripture, we have a better understanding, I guess, we'd have to say, than even the prophets who made the prophecies. So fortunately, we can look back. Oh, well, they say hindsight is what, 20/20? As we look back in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament and then in the New, it's like Peter on the day of Pentecost, Stephen in chapter 7, different places in the New Testament, were given new insights into what was in God's mind and how he was bringing all that to fruition. I'm glad we have the New Testament for a lot of reasons, but it sure does make it easier for us to get some understanding of what the prophets were talking about in those days, hundreds of years before Jesus came. Actually, hundreds of years before. And therefore, it is amazing that the details that are included were brought into focus by those prophets, and then, of course, in sharp focus on the day of Pentecost when Peter said, this is what the prophets were talking about. And he talked about Joel and other things that had been hinted at in the past. So here we have Peter referring about the sufferings of Christ, the glories that would follow, and it was revealed not to themselves but to us. They were ministering the things which has now been reported through you. So if you ever are reading Scripture in the Old Testament and you say, I wonder what this means, how does this fit into other things in the Bible? That's a good hint that you ought to go and read the New Testament, particularly where the apostles are making statements about God's plan, about his actions that he took, the inspiration that he gave prophets. It's a very educational process, and educational in the sense that we need to know that God all along has been thinking of you, and thinking about what is going to be good for you and how he can bring all of this to pass for your welfare. Make it personal, because yes, he was dealing with thousands, millions of people. He was thinking about the 7 billion that live today. He's thinking about whatever the 10 billion may be that will live here in the next 100 years. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? I'm going to be gone. But maybe some of you will be gone at the same time as I am. But the idea here is that God is not dealing with time as we see it. He brings things about in the timing that he has and that he intends. And what about Joel? Did he understand what he was prophesying? I doubt that he understood the whole story. But he was speaking for God. And you can count on it that it did come to pass. So, in this first part here, he says that the Spirit of Christ was in them, indicating that he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. In them, he was testifying. The Holy Spirit was active hundreds of years before Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be your comforter. Yes, that's true. He did send the Holy Spirit as a comforter, but the Holy Spirit wasn't created then. He was active, and you remember, we were studying the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was given when God wanted to give him. That's how people got the Holy Spirit. God placed the Holy Spirit in their hearts, and they were able to do marvelous things. Before we leave, though, and this, notice that in verse 12, it's not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Angels are not all-seeing, all-knowing. They don't know everything that we know. We know what God's eternal plan is, for us at least. We know what his eternal plan is for us. But the angels need or want to look into the same things we do understand. I love that. You know, we tend to think about the angels as being superhuman, and they are, but also we tend to think that they are like God. Nah. They're only like God to the extent that he wants them to be. Yeah, they can travel at the speed of light. Although sometimes there was one angel that said, I'm sorry I didn't get here sooner. I was busy over at a country. Remember that story? Angels go at the bidding of God. They are messengers. So he says, angels would love to know what you know. They would wish to be informed to the extent that you are informed. And so, in a way, he's helping the people of a dispersion feel real good about themselves. Hey, I know things that the angels have been wanting to hear about all along, and I know about it. So, here's something that ought to make us feel good, because I know there are a lot of things that I don't understand from Scripture, but I understand more than the angels do. Hey, what do you think of that?
Amen.
I love it. Okay, any other comment that you'd like to make here about this first chapter of 1 Peter? Yes.
In regard to angels, my opinion, I don't think angels can repent. Now, they may be able to change their allegiance and leave Satan, but we're suggesting right now that angels have a lack of knowledge or a deficit of knowledge. I'm not saying that they are ignorant, because they are, but the Holy Spirit in Hebrews reminds us and puts angels in their proper relation. We're above the angels, because when we hear the message of pardon, we can change our minds and repent of our wickedness, accept the good news, be added to the Lamb's Book of Life, and begin a set apart, sanctified life, and out of gratitude for our great salvation, obey every command of Jesus. That's awesome. It just is, because look at our privilege. He died for us. He sacrificed for us, not for the angels. It's like the angels, whatever. But for us, the wicked sinner, like Paul is reminding us in the Roman letter, the incredible nature of God is he becomes a human so that he can die, be resurrected, and certify us that as our sin offering, every word or deed that you've said that's ugly can be pardoned.
Right.
Wow. Cool. Aren't we better than the angels? And these are some of the remarks in which the angels, what are you up to, Almighty God? And God said, just watch me make my moves. I am so awesome. And aren't we just We're not being disrespectful, because God is totally awesome, and the angels sure do know it better than we, huh?
Couldn't say it better myself. Yes, ma'am.
And even though we should be understanding better than angels, so if we think about the 12 that were with Jesus for 3 years, it's almost like a graduate program that they were going through, probably intensive program. But we see the recordings of Jesus's speech, which sometimes in some Bibles is in red. It's not that much that we have. Those 12 were listening all day long. And did they understand everything? When they were talking about kingdom, they thought about kingdom of David. They were thinking that Jesus will be just like David, the king of the kingdom on the earth. Because it's so difficult. That phenomenon is so unclear, even after that program that they went through with Jesus. They still could not understand everything. So if we don't understand something, I guess that's okay too.
Let's hope so, because all of us have a cloud over our understandings, I think. But we keep working on it, and maybe we'll get to a better understanding anyway. Thank you for pointing that out. All right, so angels desire to look into. Well, that's a very happy thought. Let's look now down, moving on down to verse 22. Somebody like to read that to us?
Yes, please. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again not of corruptible seed but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. And that's verse 23, New King James Version.
All right, thank you. Now, do you like me to comment on that?
Well, I can call your attention, and you can do your own research if you care to. The word born again in the New King James translation is the Greek word for begotten or conceived. And you ask any mother, is there a difference between being begotten and being born? And she should reply, about 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a difference between conception and birth. And you notice how in verse 23, we have, if you say conceived or begotten, you have been begotten not of corruptible seed. Remember what the Lord said about the seed is the word, and how Satan is busy about that. If the good news message is taken to the University of Florida campus, Satan's busy over there, and he snaps that word up. He says, nah, you students are not going to hear the good news message and everything that goes into that. I'm going to snap it up. But there are a few. There are a few over there, and that's Donnie's ministry. And just those important remarks.
All right, so are you suggesting that maybe in the efforts to explain what verse 23 is trying to say, it may be that they used the wrong word in talking about born again?
I'm suggesting that the translators do the best they know how, but we go back to the pure word of the word choice that Peter used.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see that there's a distinction that I've just drawn attention to, then we have to say, are there other translations that might support old Dan Payne's position? Like perhaps the old American 1901 or some other ancient ancient to us. I mean, we're talking 100 years before our time now. So that's the idea, that look at other translations and see, are there other wise translators who differ a bit and support what I'm suggesting?
Yes, Dan?
following up on his remark, the translators probably decided that the word begotten, which is maybe more accurate from the original, the modern mind wouldn't understand that word as much as being born, born again. So they used that instead of begotten. Could have used the word conceived, I guess, as you suggest, and people would probably have understood that word better. But I think in their mind, they were just trying to find something that people would understand better. Mm-hmm. And we understand that maybe there's a difference in what is really being meant. Because here, Peter is talking about being conceived, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which is the Word of God, which is His truth.
Yeah, and just a little short course here on translation. If you have, for example, a Greek-English dictionary, and you like to look up things and see what this could mean, you might be surprised that a lot of Greek words have several synonyms that the translators basically are wrestling with when they're trying to decide what needs to be put into their finished product. So I haven't looked this up.
I can, if you care to, I can give you the word itself, or not. You want to move on? I don't want to take the time.
Okay, why don't you find it? We'll go on.
All right, I'll have it in a moment.
Well, I'm looking at this chart here. It says corrupt. We all know corrupt is mean. That's tainted, bad, negative. And corrupt is that you're not those things. You're not lost. You're not the terror and the wheat going together, but you're the wheat. And you're better because of God's word and its purity.
Well, yes. And certainly, God's word is incorruptible. And therefore, we need to be sure that we are actually reading God's word and understanding what He's saying, because our inheritance in heaven is important, and we need to make sure that we're on the right track. Thank you for pointing that out.
St. Yes. Paul says in Ukrainian language, it says, "You were born again from the seed that can die, but you are getting, you were born again not from the seed that can die, like usual seed that we understand in life that we plant, but from the seed that will live forever."
Uh-huh. That helps to explain it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm talking of translation. I read, my Bible is NIV.
All right.
What is captured in the handouts, what we have here, it's not the same as what is in the NIV.
No, the one that I gave you is from the New King James Version.
In the NIV, the spirit is missing. It only talks about truth, right? In the New King James Version, you know, it mentions through the Spirit.
Right.
If I...
It's bad for us to leave the Spirit out, isn't it?
Yeah, so I just want to bring to your attention that...
Brother Dan, you are in the process of looking up
on it. It's not a... Anagenemenoi, and having been regenerated is what the person that wrote this interlinear is suggesting, having been regenerated not by seed corruptible but by incorruptible through the word, living, the living word of God, and so forth. It goes on. So it's...
Does he mention the spirit?
Looking at it, that would be in
Doctrine 4.
Verse 22.
The souls of you, having purified by obedience of the truth into brotherly love, unfeigned, from the heart one another love ye earnestly. Now those are, that's the literal translation. The Penumbra is not in there. It's not there.
Okay. So what is the Greek text that is being used? Is it...
Probably it's a Nestle Island. Let me look at the forward.
Well, then it's looking, again, in Ukrainian it says the word of truth, and the word is from the capital. So, which is, first was the word. So I would think that in this case, it's
talking clear about Jesus.
That this is Jesus, this is his word, this is spirit.
Okay, I have that information.
All right.
The Greek text used in this book is that of the 21st edition of Eberhard Nestle's Novum Testamentum Graeci, based on the study and critical research of generations of scholars, except the passage, and he cites John chapter 7, that's the woman taken in adultery, is not in that text, but is relegated to the foot of the page, it's a critical note. That's just an aside. Basically, what he's saying is 21st edition. The current edition is 27, so it's back there a bit.
It's kind of interesting that the translators for the New King James Version elected to use the insertion of the word spirit there, and there is no italicis. Ordinarily in the New King James Version, if they supply a word, it is in a different typeface. And spirit here is not in a different typeface. That's an interesting issue that we're looking at.
It is, isn't it?
All right. Having covered all of this very thoroughly and knowing everything that we didn't know before, it's time for us to quit. So let's pick up here with chapter 3, verse 18. Next Sunday, and Luke and I won't be here. We're going to, this is not a secret, but we're going to go on an Alaska cruise. And so we'll be gone two Sundays, and don't call us.
No,
call us. Oh, call, okay.
So
we're celebrating our anniversary, that's what we're doing. So. We have two men that are going to replace me, and if they want to do that permanently, that would suit me, of course. We have two Brother Dans that are going to be our substitute teachers, and I'm grateful that they're willing to do that. But I am looking forward to getting back and being able to be with you in 3 weeks from now. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful to you because you have opened the floodgates of knowledge for us by your word. We know things that have been kept secret, but you have chosen to reveal them to us. Thank you, Lord, and help us as we continue studying about your spirit that we will learn even more that has been cloudy in our minds until this point. Thank you for this worship we're going to engage in now. Please bless us at that time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So you're doing the communion, and then you're doing the about Ukraine.
Yes.
This is a very busy day for you.
It's a busy day, yeah. It really is. Thank you. Thank you for noticing.
Take me out to dinner.
Somebody didn't really go back and see how busy it is.
I was asked by different
sides to do different things. I'll look at these.